Good morning, and welcome to Air Products and Chemicals Investor Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded at the request of Air Products. Please note that this presentation and the comments made on behalf of Air Products are subject to copyright by Air Products, and all rights are reserved. Beginning today's call is Simon Moore, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Audra. Good morning, everyone. This is Simon Moore, Vice President of Investor Relations. I am pleased to be joined today by Seifi Ghasemi, our Chairman, President, and CEO, Scott Crocco, our Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Sean Major, our Executive Vice President, General Counsel, and Secretary, and Dr. Samir Serhan, our Chief Operating Officer. As I'm sure you saw, Air Products issued a press release earlier this morning entitled Air Products, Aqua Power, and NEOM sign agreement for $5 billion world-scale green ammonia production facility powered by renewable electricity for export to global hydrogen markets. The press release and the slides for this call are available on our website at airproducts.com. This discussion contains forward-looking statements. Please refer to the forward-looking statement disclosure that can be found in our release and on slide number two. Thank you for joining us to discuss this exciting opportunity. We look forward to discussing not only the NEOM production project, but also the massive opportunity to provide clean, carbon-free hydrogen to power buses and trucks around the world. After our comments, we'll be pleased to take your questions. We will be limiting our comments and only taking questions pertaining to this project. We look forward to discussing our quarterly results with you on July 23rd. Now, I'm pleased to turn the call over to Seifi.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Simon. I also like to thank everyone for taking time from your busy schedule to join our call today. I am obviously very excited to be on this call. I will explain the details of this unique, innovative, and world-scale project to produce carbon-free energy for the entire world. We at Air Products, as the largest producer of hydrogen in the world, are very honored to be partners with NEOM and Aqua Power to bring carbon-free hydrogen to the world on a massive scale. NEOM is the visionary and carbon-free city of the future. Aqua Power is the world leader in production of renewable power. Therefore, the three of us make a perfect team for this project. Air Products, NEOM, and Aqua Power are the natural partners, complement each other's capabilities, and make this project a reality. Now please turn to slide number three. We have been working on this project for the last 4 years, and today I'm very happy to announce that NEOM, Aqua Power, and Air Products, with the full support and approval of their board of directors, have decided to move forward with $7 billion of total investment to implement a unique innovative project to produce carbon-free hydrogen and deliver it to the end users around the world. Please turn to slide number four. At Air Products, whenever we embark on a new project, we ask ourselves why. Why do we want to do this? The answer is on page five. We are proud to be part of this undertaking because it is the first and largest and the most innovative project to make mankind's dream of carbon-free energy a reality. But in addition, the execution of this project is fully in line with our higher purpose as a company. As you can see on slide number six, our higher purpose at Air Products is to be a company where people from all walks of life join together work together and feel that they belong and that their contribution matters. Our higher purpose is to come up with innovative solutions for the challenges that face our customers and our and the world, especially when it comes to clean energy. Therefore, this carbon-free hydrogen project will benefit the world by providing clean energy on a larger scale and will eliminate CO2 and all other emissions from equivalent of 700,000 cars. That is in line with our higher purpose. Now please turn to slide number 7 for a more detailed explanation of the project. We intend to use the power of the sun and the wind to produce about 4 gigawatts of power, which will be used to produce about 650 tons of carbon-free hydrogen from electrolysis of water. Now, the issue has always been that, okay, you can find a place where there is sun and wind and you can produce hydrogen from electrolysis. But how do we take that hydrogen molecule, which is in gaseous state, or even when if you liquefy, how do you get that molecule into a truck or a bus in Frankfurt or in Tokyo? Therefore, the uniqueness of this project, the innovation that we have come up with here, is to take that hydrogen gas and make ammonia with it. And ammonia, this green ammonia, now is a product that can easily and commercially be shipped around the world with available technology and available ships, put on trucks, and then delivered to bus stations, truck depots around the world. Therefore, we have found a very effective way, an innovative way, of actually delivering the hydrogen, green hydrogen molecule to the end user, no matter where they are. That is the key to this project. The amount of ammonia produced is about 1.2 million tons a year. Now please turn to page 8 for a discussion of the role of the three partners. As you can see on page 8, the production facility, the wind and solar facility is the expertise of Aqua Power. They have done this before at, on a mega scale. They will build that, and as I said, the capacity of that is about 4 megawatts. We take that electricity and do the hydrolysis of water. Air Products will do that and execute that, but we will use the technology from ThyssenKrupp. We put out an announcement yesterday saying that we have an exclusive agreement with ThyssenKrupp for doing this. They are by far the largest and the most innovative technology leader in this field, so we are very happy to be cooperating with them. Then obviously Air Products will build the air separation unit, and then we bring the hydrogen and nitrogen together into making a green ammonia. Air Products will do that with the technology that we have with Haldir Topsoe, and we have made an announcement before about that. So now we have 1.3 million ton of ammonia, green ammonia, to be shipped. At this point, I want to stress that ammonia, we use the word ammonia, but ammonia right now is only a means of transporting the hydrogen. We are not selling ammonia. We are transporting hydrogen to sell hydrogen to the world. The location of this project is in the visionary city, carbon-free city in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. not only NEOM has the right vision for what they want to do, but the fantastic thing is that the location that they are is ideal for the project, because the particular location that they are, especially the piece next to the Gulf of Aqaba, has wind, significant amount of wind in the night. Therefore, we use the sun during the day and the wind during the night, so that we end up with more than 70% continuous power during the day, and for the other 30 days we build the storage. So it makes it technically feasible to have this operation come together on an economical basis. So as I said, we are obviously honored and delighted to work with NEOM because of their vision. But in addition, the location is absolutely the right location that lends itself to the concept of what we are doing. So now page 10 to page 10. So what did we do once we have turned the hydrogen into ammonia? We transport it with commercially available ships. These LPG ships already exist. We bring it to wherever the location, whichever part of the world we want, and then we will take it by truck and deliver it to what we call processing stations, which will be built at bus and truck depots. There, we will dissociate the hydrogen, compress it, and deliver it to the buses and trucks. Please note that we are not building gas stations here. These are specialized units, processing units, that will be connected, be built in bus depots and truck depots, where there are hundreds and thousands of buses and trucks come together to make the whole project practical. As I said, we are not building gas stations around the corner. Now, one question that sometimes people ask is that, okay, you are going all the way to another part of the world in order to make hydrogen from water. Well, why can't I make it in the U.S.? I just connect it to the grid, make it at the station, and deliver it to the buses and trucks. But the difference is that, as you see on page 11, that if you make electrolysis of water in China, where most of the electricity is from coal, you generate 50 kilograms of CO2 for every kilogram of hydrogen. That means you defeat the whole purpose of green. You cannot call that green hydrogen. You cannot even call it renewable. I mean, it's not green. It's not renewable. It's just even worse than any kind of a gray hydrogen that we can make from a steam methane reformer. And even if you are in a place where the grid is 100% powered by natural gas, you are still going to end up producing 23 kilograms of CO2 per kilogram of hydrogen. That is why these projects, if you want really green, carbon-free energy, you have to have wind and solar power. And there are only certain locations in the world that lends itself to a massive production of those stuff, and therefore you need to find an innovative way of transporting that, and that is what we have come up with, the conversion to ammonia. So now turn to page 12. There I have the details of the commercial arrangement in terms of investment. On the production side, which will be in Nome, the capital estimate is about $5 billion, which will be one-third between the three partners. We are equal partners, and we are very proud of that. And ammonia will be given to Air Products, and the financial returns for that project are such that we say that they are better than the guidelines we have given you. And then Air Products will receive the ammonia. We, as Air Products, then will invest an additional $2 billion to develop the whole downstream logistics and infrastructure to move this stuff, move it by truck, build the processing station, and deliver this 650 tons of hydrogen to end customers. And I will explain to you a little bit more about how we intend to sell the product. So in total, Air Products investment in this project will be about $3.7 billion. Now please go to page 13. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about these processing stations that you're talking about. We bring the ammonia. We will use the ammonia itself as a source of energy to dissociate the ammonia to hydrogen. And then we will use some of that hydrogen to drive the compressors, to compress the hydrogen to 10,000 PSI, about 700 bars. And then we will put it in buses and trucks. The important thing that you notice here is that the processing units themselves are totally self-sufficient. We are not going to use any power from the grid. Therefore, the molecule which is delivered to the truck and to the bus are 100% carbon free. And therefore, they qualify for example, in some of the places where they have low carbon fuel standards, they fully apply at zero footprint. That is the key thing, that totally self-sufficient here. So, on page 14, I like to stress that we are talking about providing hydrogen to buses and trucks, not passenger cars. Passenger cars are going to be electric most probably for a long time, and they don't use a lot of hydrogen running around. So we are focused on buses and trucks around the world. And then in terms of page 15, our concept of selling it, we want to do it a little bit like our sale of gas model. That means that we will go to a bus station, a bus depot, a truck depot around the world and say, look, you have 2,000 buses that you are fueling every day. You know what your demand is. We are going to build this processing plant, process the ammonia, produce hydrogen, and sell it to you on a long-term, 10-year, 15-year, 20-year basis, because it's very easy to predict what the demand of the customer will be. They have a historical record of how many miles they drive and all of that. That is the intention of how we would sell that, which is in line with our long-term sale of gas model. But please turn to page 16. God willing, we will have carbon-free hydrogen to power buses and trucks at the latest by 2025, which gives us plenty of time to build the infrastructure and be ready for when this thing comes on stream. So if you go to page 17, this project is a perfect fit, absolutely perfect fit for our long-term strategy that we have talked to you many times before. It is, number one, aligned with our higher purpose as a company. It creates significant shareholder value because we are producing a unique product. It positions us long-term to be a leader in the demand for carbon-free hydrogen. The demand for carbon-free hydrogen is huge. Even with this massive project, if you do the math, we will only have enough hydrogen to power 15,000-20,000 buses. And you know how many buses and trucks there are in the world. So there will be many more of these projects, and we are going to position ourselves to be the leader, to have the technology to make these things happen, many of these happen to in the future. And then obviously this makes a firm statement about our total commitment to sustainability and how can anything be better for sustainability than carbon-free hydrogen. Zero carbon, zero footprint. That is our presentation, and now we will be delighted to answer your questions as usual.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach the equipment. Again, press star 1 if you have a question. We'll go first to Duffy Fisher at Barclays.
Yes, good morning, guys, and congratulations.
Thank you, Rafi. How are you?
Good, thanks. Maybe two questions for me. One, just on the science of it. If you're using your own molecule, your own energy for all the different processes through, what's the energy efficiency of this from front to back? So, you know, when you end up with solar or wind power and you go through all the different steps, what percent is left by the time, you know, the end bus or truck ends up using it?
Well, obviously that is a proprietary information that we don't necessarily want to disclose, but we don't lose a lot.
Okay, fair enough.
Because thank you.
And then just the second one is, in general, what's the plan for how this will be accounted? Will this, I'm assuming you're not going to be able to bring this on the balance sheet as you're only a one-third owner of the JV.
Definitely. I'd like to have Simon comment on the production side. You see, this is two parts. One is the production facility. On that, we are one-third owner. So we will not be able to consolidate that most probably and take credit for all of the EBITDA that would generate and all that. But when we sell the end product, the hydrogen, then that is 100% Air Products, and we will account for the profitability. So you need to look at this thing as two investments. One is $1.6 billion of investment for a production facility, and the other one is $2 billion of investment, which will generate a certain amount of revenue. Right? It has a cost, and it has a revenue, and the returns for that. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Kevin McCarthy at Vertical Research Partners.
Yes, good morning. Cynthia, can you speak to the scalability of both green hydrogen? What is the investment opportunity or market opportunity here over the medium to long term in your view?
Well, we think that, and we have looked at a lot of numbers and a lot of studies, and some of them are public. We think the total size of hydrogen for mobility, the total size by 2030 will be $60-70 billion, if not more. So the opportunity is huge. Now, some of that hydrogen will be served as gray hydrogen, I'm sure, but green hydrogen will be in demand, and we think that by 2030, you might see 10 of these projects.
Okay. And then secondly, if I may, can you speak to the financing paradigm here, both for the $5 billion project as well as the $2 billion distribution piece?
The $2 distribution piece is 100% Air Products. We don't plan to project finance that, because if we need money, we have the money. If we need money, we will just issue bonds. So there is no project finance for our, for the $2 billion part. Currently, on the $5 billion, there is no plan for financing, and it will be cash from the partners. But in the future, depending on what the markets are, we might change our mind, but that's the way we are looking at it right now. That is why I'm saying Air Products contribution will be one-third of the five plus the $2
billion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Steve Byrne at Bank of America.
Yes, good morning. I was curious.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Stacey. Of the 650 tons of hydrogen that this project will produce, do you have at present any long-term contracts locked in with specific countries or companies that would build the truck fleets and so forth?
I don't think I should comment on that, because that's just giving too much information. Competitors.
Well, then is the
obviously
selling price,
I've thought about that, right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering who carries the risk on the selling price of this ammonia. Is it the JV or is it
Air Products?
Okay, does the JV provide you know, a production price of that ammonia that you can then work with to calculate your own ROI on that subsequent?
Yes.
And is that?
We are the off-taker of ammonia. So we will off-take the ammonia and pay the JV a certain dollars per ton for that, so that then the JV has a return, and then we take that, that is our cost, and then we go and sell it, and then when we make the money, it's all 100% Air Products.
And does that JV have a commitment from Aqua Power on the cost of the electricity that will be delivered into the JV? Is that something in, you know, cents per kilowatt hour you can comment on?
No. They wouldn't have any cents per ton. They are an investor in the total project. So the cost of electricity will be the variable cost of production. They are not building this and providing power to the thing. They are an investor in the whole JV. The profitability of the JV is going to be shared with everybody. The same way that we are not selling green hydrogen to the JV to make ammonia. We are all partners. We form one company, and that company builds the plant at a certain cost. It has a certain variable cost, and it has a certain revenue, which is what Air Products will give them for every ton of ammonia produced, and then they have their own profitability. And all of us share in that profitability.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Jim Sheehan at SunTrust.
Good morning, Katie. Thanks for taking my question.
Absolutely, Jim.
Okay, was the project competitively bid? What can you tell us about the process for how this project came about?
I cannot disclose that. I shouldn't, and quite honestly, if there was competition with us, we have been developing this project for a long time, so I don't know. That's the best way to answer that, if there was competition or not. But most probably, as usual, some of our competitors will say, like everything else they announced, that they looked at it, they didn't want to participate, so probably they will make the same comment on this one. But anyway, I don't have any comments. I don't know whether there was competition or not.
Okay, and when you transport the ammonia, you know, from Saudi Arabia to the end markets in Europe or Japan or wherever, if we think about the fuel costs and the transportation costs of that, are those costs going to be passed through to the truck depots by formula, or do you take risk on the fuel and transportation costs?
Those costs are marginal. They are not huge. The cost of transporting ammonia from Saudi Arabia to Europe is probably $60 a ton. It's not huge in the scale of the project.
And did you say that these...
Obviously, those costs... we will consider those costs when we are pricing the product to the end user so that we can get our margins.
Okay, and on the sale of gas model, you referenced it was similar to your typical model. So are you going to have take or pay contracts for everything, and would it be a 15-year duration, or is that yet to be determined?
It is yet to be determined. It depends on how we negotiate these things, and it will be different in different parts of the world, you know, depending on the size. I mean, if somebody has a bus depot with 3,000 cars, with 3,000 buses, they will get a different deal than somebody who has 100 buses, right? So we will negotiate those things and the terms and the duration and all of that. Those are all individual things that we negotiate, like everything else that we do.
Thank you, Safi.
Thank you very much.
We'll move next to David Begleiter at Deutsche Bank.
Safi, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Safi, on the hydrogen refueling stations, the $2 billion you're spending, how many stations do you intend to build with that $2 billion?
Well, it depends on the size of the stations and so on, but it certainly is not going to be more than 100, probably a lot less than 100. Depending, I mean, if they find somebody, as I told you, the amount of hydrogen they are making is massive. It is almost 100 times more than anybody else has ever built. But all it takes is about 20,000 buses to use it. So if you have some state somewhere in China who says, gee, I have 20,000 buses, you know, then it will be two stations. If we go and do it all over the board, it will be 50 stations. But it is not, we are not building 2,000 gas stations around the board. That is not where we are going at all.
Got it. And
that's,
did you consider
another plan?
Right. Did you consider taking on a partner for the distribution side of this project, either for their expertise in distribution or other aspects, or do you feel you have the expertise to do this on your own?
We have the expertise all the way now, because over here, once we produce it, the production, I told you, we are dealing with the world experts to produce it. Then the issue becomes the transport is regular ships, the processing unit is something that we have the expertise in terms of how we can dissociate ammonia. We know hydrogen extremely well. We know hydrogen completion well. But most important, we have the technologies. We have more than 50 patents on the actual delivery devices that takes the hydrogen and puts it in the tank. We are the world leader on that. We have many stations in actual operation. We actually have 250 of them under construction around the world already. And that is our expertise and our know-how. Why would we want to share it with anybody? Nobody is near where we are. But I can't imagine any partner. And we certainly don't need a financial partner because we have the money.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Very good question.
We'll go next to Vincent Andrews at Morgan Stanley.
Hi, this is Angela on for Vincent. Thank you for taking my question. Just safely on the timing of the contribution and the return. So you said by 2025, as we think about, you know, the JV, is this similar to Jazan where it's a one-time contribution that we can expect in a particular year, or is it something that's going to be spent over, you know, kind of like CapEx spent over the next 3-4 years?
Well, the CapEx to build the facility will be spent during the next 4 or 5 years. And then once it's built, then we will have a continuous EPS contribution from the joint venture. And then we will obviously have a EPS contribution from selling the carbon-free hydrogen to customers around the world. Did I answer your question?
You did. That's very helpful. Thank you. And then I think I heard you say that, you know, you might do 10 projects like this, you know, by 2030. As we think about, you know, the potential pipeline for new projects of this nature, as you mentioned, you know, there's some difficulties around the scalability in terms of needing wind and solar. Can you give us a sense for the pipeline, maybe, you know, the size and timing of potential new projects like this?
But the potential for these new projects are, quite honestly, the appetite in the world for green carbon, for the green hydrogen, carbon-free hydrogen, which we think, obviously, from every study and all of that, that it is huge. We'll find out in the next 5 years. And now that we have announced the project, the first one, everybody knows that this is now feasible. You can actually take the power of the wind and the sun in the middle of the place where the wind and the sun is, and have found a practical way of transporting that to the end user. Now that the world knows that, we are going to go around and figure out what is the demand. And if the demand ends up to be a lot more, then we will build more of these. And there is no scalability, because if you have this, you have a plot next to it, and you build another one, and you build another one, and you build another one. Because these things are big enough, I don't think you want to build anything. I mean, 650 tons a day is a pretty big, huge plant. If there is the demand, we build a carbon copy of it next to it. but we will know that in the next 5 years. And so as we go, if we suddenly find out in the next year and a half that there is a huge demand and people have signed up for it, so then we'll announce that we're building another one.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Laurence Alexander at Jefferies.
Good morning. Does the JV include any optionality around selling merchant ammonia if the downstream build-out has any snags in different countries? And
no,
does the distribution have any flexibility for using other, can your fueling stations use regular ammonia if it's cheaper than the green ammonia?
Well, you asked me two questions. We are not in the ammonia. We don't want to be in selling green ammonia. That's not the intent. This is about green hydrogen. Okay? But the second part of your question is very interesting, is that we might consider that we build a station next month and to if a customer signs a long-term agreement with us, we can use regular ammonia and produce hydrogen and deliver it to them to get it started. And that would be like what I call selling leaded gasoline or regular gasoline to them. Regular, and then later on you come up with a super version, which will be obviously a lot more expensive. That might be a possibility, but we are very much focused on the green hydrogen. The intent of this project is to sell green hydrogen at a significant premium and get all of the low-carbon fuel cell standard benefits that the governments are offering.
And can you give a sense for what premium on the downstream, on the ammonia or the downstream is needed to hit the total return project target that you have for the integrated project? What's the level of government support or premium that customers need to be willing to pay for investors to feel assured that this is on track?
Well, the thing is that we are not relying on government support. The thing is that some countries, first of all, you have some of the data that you can work with. I mean, you know the volumes here. We have given you the volume. And currently, we are selling what is called gray hydrogen. Currently, we are selling it at around $10 a kilogram, at least. Some places, $14 a kilogram. You can do the math and see how this thing works out. We are spending $2 billion for the downstream. And, I mean, you can do the math yourself. And in terms of the low-carbon fuel standards, those things are published by the different governments around the world in terms of the level of support that they need. But we are building this project and looking at it in terms of return on the basis that it has to be self-sufficient without government support. If the government support is there, then that's icing on the cake.
Great.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move to Chris Parkinson at Credit Suisse.
Great. Thank you. I hope everybody's doing well. There's obviously been a lot of buzz over this over the last 18 months, but it's really been accelerating in 2020. You know, I guess it's one of the true bright spots of the year. But, you know, just longer term, just given your two primary competitors are talking about this as well, just how do you assess, especially in light of today's announcement, your own strategic positioning, especially on a go-forward basis, and your ability to scale out your own technology, and as well as, in this case, distribution around the globe? So just a few comments there would be greatly appreciated.
Well, the thing is that I don't want to comment about our competitors. They have their own strategy and so on, and you can ask them. The only thing that I can say is that they are announcing projects about producing 10 tons a day of hydrogen, and we are talking about 650 tons. It is worth the scale. The economics are obviously significantly better. But the most important thing is that this is carbon-free hydrogen. This is zero footprint We don't touch carbon in producing this thing all the way then it, until it goes to, into a car. There is a significant value for that, and I think that is what the world was looking for. And this thing is going to accelerate because now everybody sees, hey, I can move in this direction because the product will be there. So we are all excited to see how this thing develops because it might develop a lot bigger than we thought. And you guys have a lot of information on that. There has been a lot of publications. You know, I've gotten almost a library of articles and so on, as I'm sure you do, about hydrogen and hydrogen for mobility and all that. But the potential is huge. I mean, when you sit down and look at the numbers, there are, 250 million commercial vehicles in the world. Commercial, forget about passenger cars. 260 million commercial vehicles. You know, suppose you to convert 1% of that. I mean, you come up with huge numbers that would require 50 of these plants. So the potential is huge. And we thought our strategy was, and we have been working on this thing, as I told you, for 4 years, our strategy was we need to be the first mover on a mega-scale project. And we needed to find the right location and the right partners. And I'm very excited about the fact that we found the right partner in terms of the renewable energy. Nobody in the world is better than Aqua Power on that. And we find the phenomenally visionary partner in NEOM who not only have the vision of a carbon-free city, but they are absolutely located in a part of the world where you have the wind and the sun. So this was a very unique combination. It took us a long time to bring this thing together, but thank God it has come together, and I take great pleasure in announcing it today. This is the culmination of at least a dream on my part come true.
Just out of the $2 billion for downstream, can you potentially comment on just how much has already been committed in terms of bus and truck depots today? Just it seems like some things are in flux. And then also, you've had a few announcements over the last, let's say, 5 or 6 years about hydrogen fueled stations and some stuff with Toyota. Is this arrangement in any way, shape, or form associated with that, or is that potentially an opportunity based on some of the other smaller arrangements you've already been addressing, as I said, over the last, let's say, half decade or so?
Sure. On the first one, I cannot comment in terms of how much we have committed, not committed, and all of that. I said that before. In terms of the relationship that we have mentioned with Toyota and all of that, that was all about hydrogen and hydrogen cars. So when you have a hydrogen bus, a Hyundai of a hydrogen bus right now, or you have the Miura, they use hydrogen. So we have been working with them because we had so-called gray hydrogen, because they have steam methane reformers. We are, as I said, we are the largest producer of hydrogen in the world. So it was natural that we would work with them. Now this is going to make it possible that the infrastructure, the cars and buses are already there. So if a bus depot wants to convert to having their fleet be hydrogen, they don't have to wait for 10 years for somebody to build the bus. The bus can be built tomorrow. I can give you as many hydrogen fuel cell buses as you want from China tomorrow for $200,000 each, $150,000 each. So now that we have the green thing, then these people will be a lot more incentivized to meet that. There are certain parts of the world that the bus depots have been told and mandated that by 2030 they need to be X percent green. And now we are providing a path for them to go there. So the work that we have done in the past is very useful for this project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go next to John Roberts at UBS.
Thank you, Stephanie. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate that.
Where is the most favorable green hydrogen market today? Is it something like the city of Frankfurt or the city of Tokyo? And are there any private markets today that are paying a big premium for green hydrogen?
Well, if I tell you what is the most favorable location, then everybody should figure out already where we are going to sell this thing. So I'm going to refrain from opining on that. But you have access to all of the information and so on in terms of which countries are pushing this, where are the regulations and the drives and all of that. And it is in many, many parts of the world. So we are very excited about the fact that there are a lot of opportunities around the world for this.
And then I may have missed it, but without a green hydrogen premium, so if you sold at current fuel-based hydrogen market values, does the project meet your return hurdles?
Yes. But I shouldn't have said that because that, we are going to sell the green hydrogen for what the green hydrogen is worth, not to sell it for getting the minimum return. This is green hydrogen. We expect a lot more than 10% return on capital employed.
Okay.
We should
get
50% on capital employed because of the innovation here. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we'll move to Jonas Oxgaard at Bernstein.
Good morning, guys. Thank you.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Not so bad. I wanted to come back to the question of looking up customers for this. So you said you won't disclose how much of your expected production you already looked up, but is there a go-no-go point where if you can't find enough offtake by the time you start putting steel in the ground, you can call this off? How should we think about the risk profile for this investment?
We have done enough work to convince ourselves that the potential for the market is there. And therefore, the announcement today, which has approval from our board of the three companies, is not something that we are going 6 months from now saying, oh, wait a minute, we made a mistake on the marketing, so let's not build it. We are committed to build this thing, and we think the market will be there. There is a risk if something happens in the world and suddenly the world starts getting a lot cooler and the sun has problems shining and so on. But I'm being a little bit. Well, we know you very well, so I can kid you a little bit. But no, I mean we have made a final we have made a decision to move forward.
Okay, so I should build in solar cooling in my forecast model. The second question here is more, I guess, more fundamental. Why not just burn the ammonia directly in the fuel cell? I mean, we know at least technically how to make an ammonia fuel cell. It sounds like it's a waste of energy to turn it back into hydrogen again.
Well, I wish you hadn't asked me that question because I was trying. Well, I was thinking about how I would avoid answering that because if you can do that, then that makes this whole project here a lot more attractive, right? Because then you don't need to make the investment to convert it. People have talked about that. People have looked at that. But at this time, I don't want to claim that that is feasible or practical or that is what the people who are running buses and so on will do that, or there will be those kind of buses and so on built on a massive scale. But you make a good point. That is possible. We have talked about that. We know about that.
Okay. So if someone does develop a bus like that, you could retool and sell into our, green ammonia or ammonia market.
Absolutely, that we are bringing the ammonia to the depot. I mean, if somebody can put it directly in their car or bus and run it, then we would welcome that. It saves us a lot of hassle and cost of conversion. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll move next to Jeff Zekauskas at J.P. Morgan.
Thanks very much. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Very, very fine. Two questions. The size of the ammonia facility in Saudi Arabia seems sized to an efficient production of ammonia. So it feels like the production size that you assessed you based on making ammonia at the lowest cost. Is that true? And second, is the area expandable so that you could produce more ammonia, more green ammonia, if you chose over time?
But thank you for your question, Jeff. The first one, we chose the size of the ammonia plant. If you look at the number, it is almost a carbon copy of Gulf Coast ammonia.
Yes.
Which is the 1.1 million tons. That is the largest ammonia facility in the world. That is world scale. And therefore, you want to build as big a thing as you want, because obviously you get the economy of the scale. So that is how we chose that in terms of the size. In terms of availability of space to duplicate this or triplicate this, yes, there is space. And that is how we are planning this thing with NEOM. We are not just planning that this would be the last one. We are planning it in terms of layout and so on, so that we can obviously build more of these things there.
Okay. And I take it that the natural markets for green ammonia produced in Saudi Arabia are Europe and Asia rather than the United States. And if you had to compare the cost of using the green hydrogen on a cost per mile basis versus diesel fuel, how does that work? So there are two options there.
But right now, as I said, we are selling the gray ammonia at approximately $10 per kilogram. If you do the math, that is competitive with diesel at around $3.50 a gallon. And obviously, in different parts of the world, diesel sells for a lot more than that. So we are selling gray ammonia at those prices. Obviously, this is green ammonia, and then that doesn't have any of the incentives that the different places offer, and some places offer, you know, tradable thing. It's not an incentive. It's just a cut, like a carbon trade. So those are the facts. In terms of exactly where we sell it, as I said, I did not disclose that, Jeff.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that does conclude today's question and answer session. At this time, I'll turn the conference back to management for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to thank everybody for taking time on extremely short notice to get on our call today. And obviously, we look forward to answering your questions, if there is any additional questions, when we have our conference call for our results at the end of July. In the meantime, I wish everybody to be safe, healthy, and their families, and we look forward to talking to you again. And thanks for, again, being on the call today. Appreciate that.
And that does conclude today's conference. Again, thank you for your participation.